from the book of Psalm, Psalm 98 to be specific. O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. Let the flood clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Our second scripture comes from the book of John, John 9, 1 through 17. Hear the word of the Lord. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends, if you can do what I command you. I do not call you as servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from the Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask of him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Wondrous Lord, be with us. Be with us and guide us as we consider your word. Guide the meditations of our minds and hearts. Help our thoughts to not be our own, but to be and focus on you and how best we can serve you in the days and weeks to come. In your wondrous and blessed name we pray. Amen. Love, for the most part, is something that we believe we're familiar with, right? We think we understand it. And when God talks about it, there's this light that comes on because we know love. We even have a holiday set aside where we celebrate love, right? And our pocketbooks tell us that, right? But with all this experience of love that we have comes an unpleasant reality. And it's the reality that our love, human love, that we experience from and towards one another is actually something different than God's love. It's different and yet it's the same. I know what you're thinking. Isn't love that perfect thing, that amazing thing, and all the same? Well, no. No, it's not. It's not universal. The problem is when we see it as universal, we forget that the waters get very, very dirty when love is involved. Think about love in terms of humanity. We're all human, aren't we? And the problem is, in our discussions of love, our experience of love, human love is flawed and tainted. It sounds a little hard to grasp. After all, love should be general, shouldn't it? Now, the Greeks, for the most part, had a great idea. They came up with four different words for love to describe four different, very different types of love. Imagine if we had four words for love. In a conversation, you would know where things stood. You wouldn't, as a 20-something teenager or whatever, have to define the relationship, right? You wouldn't be questioning things. You would know where your world stood, whether someone was a friend or maybe a friend of a friend of a friend. You would know where things stood because of the wording used. English is horrible for this. I remember when I was taking Spanish in high school and you had two forms of you. There was the you of someone you were close to on a first name basis and friendly with. And then there was the you of somebody you had just met, and it was you would use that you, the vosotros form, when you were keeping somebody at almost arm's length in conversation. We don't have that in English, do we? If we do, well, tell me. The first Greek word, though, is philia. We think of Philadelphia, and you Giants fans, please don't. Let's leave that alone for now. Philia is for the love of family, a brotherly love. You know, you love your brother in a different way than you love, say, your spouse, correct? Yes. You love family differently. There's a certain beauty in loving your family, or there should be. And then there's storge. Storge is an empathic love. Somebody experiences a loss and you feel for that person. You care for that person. That's one type of love. And then there's the love of Valentine's Day. Eros. But finally, there is the word for love, which describes only God's love for humanity. You see, this unconditional love of God, this untouched by sin love that comes to us, is love in its purest, most perfect state. It's love as it should be, love as it ever could be. It is love that receives nothing in return and still continues. There's nothing that compares to the love of God, because God loves perfectly. There is no comparison between human love. It's not like you can sit down and say, well, human love compares like you would with LeBron and Michael Jordan. And don't get me started on how LeBron's a second banana to him. The fact is, you cannot compare the love of God to anything, because it is the perfect ideal lived and experienced. It is perfect and amazing. And so when we talk of love, we talk of agape love from God, and there is no comparison to our experience of it. We cannot give love the way God does. We're sinners. No matter how hard we try to love perfectly, we're going to fall short. No matter what, there's going to be a way and a reason for us not to love somehow, some way. We'll find a reason or excuse or turn love into some rubric classification where if I do this, this, and this, then that's love. Well, no, it's not. we say, well, if people care for us, we will love them. That's one of the classics I love for people to do is, well, so-and-so does this, so I don't have to love them. Well, you do this, that, and the other, and God still loves you. I do this, that, and the other, and God still loves me. The fact is, when we talk about love, we need to understand and begin with the acknowledgement of who we are, how imperfect we are. Because as hard as we work, as much as we try and as good as we could ever be, we will not be able to fully live into that love of God. And before you all get so down in the mouth and everybody's like, you know, the failure before the game even starts, God knows this. God is aware of our imperfections and our humanity, our inability to love perfectly. Because no matter how good we are, how great a person can be, their love is imperfect. It's an almost unfair commandment that we're asked to live out. Because God is God, and we most assuredly are not. We are, well, us. Humanity can be good, but humanity can also be very, very, very bad. To compare us to God is to basically start a race where the other person's standing on the finish line already. We can't compare with God. But what we often do when we lose the comparison, lose the race before it starts, we don't even try and run it. We look at it and we say, well, since sin taints love, well, let's let it go ahead and do it. Let's go ahead and let the worst of us shine out. After all, since even the best of us sins, how are we ever to accomplish this? If no matter how hard we work, we will always fall short, why run the race at all? We do run the race. We do strive and try, working day by day. But eventually it becomes troublesome. Troublesome because that's not how the world treats us. It's not how the world works for us. So why ice skate uphill? Why? So we love those who we love, care about those who love us, and that's where we are. Maybe it starts when we're kids, when Billy or Bobby pushes us on the playground and we know God wants us to love one another, but they pushed us. And that was me. So we steadily grow that if someone expresses love and care to us, then we can love them. But the fact is, Scripture is unequivocal and not movable in what it says. Our love, even though it is imperfect, is not an out for us. Yes, even the best of us will fall short, and only God can love in this perfect way. But God knows and accepts this of us. God knows that we will fall short, and yet God tells us to do it anyway. God tells us to do it anyway. Now, that's a problem for us. Because while we get told to do something, often we revert to childhood, and sometimes being told to do something doesn't always happen. We expect Jesus to say, under these conditions, you can love people. We expect the other half of this to come to us. The ground rules that say, well, you can love one another as God has loved you, unless these things happen. We wait for that. We want that. But there's a problem with this, because God doesn't give us that other piece. So what do? We treat them like guidelines, you know. Remember the Pirates of the Caribbean, where the pirate's code is guidelines, not rules. Well, guess what? This isn't guidelines. This is a command by God. This is a command from God to love one another. An unattainable command. Now, early in this week, I had a moment with Liam where I started to think about the unattainable. I was in the kitchen washing the dishes, and Liam wanted something from one of the higher-up cabinets. I think it was a battery from a toy. And I said, well, just reach up and get it. He looks over at me, all 4 feet tall of him, and says, really, Dad? Smart mouth on that kid. He looks over at me, and I look, and I realize that the batteries are in a cabinet and on a shelf in that cabinet where I'm the only one without a stool that can reach it. And so there's this moment of, how am I to ask my son to do this? And yet God has asked us to love beyond our capacity. There was a part of me that really wanted to make Liam live into the sermon example and just have him try and try and try and get the batteries. But then I realized a trip to the emergency room ends the story and the sermon example. But the fact is, God understands our problem. God, above all else, knows how imperfect we are in our ability to love one another. We have 60 years, 50 years, 30 years, 20 years of experience with humanity. And we have seen and experienced, and we say this is very, very, very impossible for us to do. But think about God, having watched human interaction for so long, even longer than the oldest person. God has seen history play out and yet still calls on us, commands us to love one another. So what are we to do with this command? This impossible command to love one another. Do we throw up our hands and walk away? We do that a lot with people in our lives. People who cause us struggle and strain, so much easier to just not deal with them. Well, let me put forward an idea. And I think this is more of what God would want of us. How do you get better at something? None of us picks up a board game or what have you, and instantly is a success. And if you are, I'm not playing cards with you. The fact is, we need to learn and get better progressively, time and time again. You don't just put on a helmet, put on pads, and you can throw a football 100 yards. It doesn't happen. You learn. You practice. Bit by bit, you get better and better. We didn't all just start out saying our alphabet and reading. We learned bit by bit, struggle by struggle, moment by moment. Sometimes we need to work at it to get better. I remember in high school, the start of August always meant running. It was the beginning of football season, and our coaches every year had a goal for us. If you weighed X number of pounds, were a wide receiver, you had to do a mile in 6 minutes. If you weighed a little more, and it went progressively, I was in the 7 minutes and 30 second crowd. The first day was always the worst, where you had to run the track. Most of us didn't make it the whole way around four times. But then the next day, more of us made it around. And more, and more, and more. And by the time conditioning was done, very, very few of us couldn't meet that goal because we worked at it. We went out day and day and day and ran until we were miserable and throwing up. But we made it. And yes, I did make that 7:30. Haven't done it since. The fact is, if you wish for something to happen like that, you need to work at it. God commands us to love one another in an impossible way, but that doesn't mean we get off and say, well, I'll see you later, I can't do that. It means we try today to love others as God loves us. It means tomorrow we try and do a little better, and the day after, and the day after, and the day after, and keep on doing and working and loving. And yes, we will fail, and yes, we will be imperfect, but guess what? We'll get better at it. We're not going to quit. We can't quit. God doesn't give us the option to quit. God doesn't give us the option. God doesn't say, love these people only when they love you. Years ago, we were sitting around the living room, and it was a Sunday, and so it was laundry day. And my mom looked at my brother and said, Rob, could you go downstairs and do a load of laundry? Rob looked over his shoulder at mom and said, nah, I'm good. Like mom didn't understand. She wasn't telling him to do it. She was asking. God's not asking. God is telling us, commanding us, driving us to love one another. Think for a few minutes what it means for us, the church, if we can love one another better than we love now. What if we can love one person who we don't normally care about and love? These days, it's a lot easier to not love than to love. It's easier to disagree with somebody and walk away. It's hard to sit down and disagree with somebody and say, you know what? I think you're completely wrong. But you know what? I love you. It's one thing to look around at this world, at the hatred, the anger, and throw up our hands and walk away. It's another thing to look at this world, its people, and even imperfectly say, we love you. to everyone. May we live into this command and live it out in our lives. Amen.